Be not weary in well-doing. We find in this world today that being a Christian can be a target on you. People will attack you in ways that they would have left you alone, but when they find out that you're a Christian, they suddenly are less tolerant of anything that you even have to say. Society these days are all about accept everything, tolerance, coexist, and all that, but yet it's not the reality of it. If you stand out different as a Christian, you've definitely got a target on you. But this makes it tough on our youngsters when they're in school or when they're around their friends and they are different and they get offered things that they know they shouldn't have or do. And they refuse them or turn them down, then they're ridiculed, they're made fun of, they're criticized, and even attacked because that they have chosen to follow the guidelines of the Lord, the guidelines of the Scriptures, the guidelines of their parents that are Christians that are helping them and leading them along. And, of course, the youngsters that have given their lives over to the Lord and have the Holy Ghost inside them and telling them what to do and not to do. And but yet we see them being attacked by different things these days. Such as the cyber bullying, the Facebook bullying, the schoolyard bullying, the friends or so-called friends that bully you, your brothers, your sisters, your neighbors. So many ways that you can be attacked for being a Christian. So many things. You on your jobs. You can't talk about the Lord. You can't hand out Bible tracts on some jobs. Or if you're in public school, you got to be very careful. You're in college. You got to keep a low profile. Don't want to stand out. Don't want to be different. Because then you get criticized. You get passed over on a job. You get whispered about in the back. You know, you get ignored. You miss a promotion. All kinds of persecutions that you can have. But the Lord tells us, don't be weary in well-doing. Keep doing what you're supposed to do. Live the Christian life you're supposed to live. Be the example you're supposed to be. Let Jesus Christ be seen through you in everything that you do, regardless of the consequences from this world. Over in Galatians chapter 6, look at verse 7 here. It reads, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." It's like, do you want to benefit in this temporal world, this temporary dwelling place, this earth now, by going along with the crowd, by doing what everybody else does so you don't stand out different, so you can go with the flow and be well accepted and gain popularity in that way? What's it going to profit you? It's not going to profit you anything. It says here, reap corruption. You got to look at what you're going to have for eternity, the Spirit. And it says, in due time, in due season there, we shall reap if we faint not. Don't give up. Keep going the pathway you're supposed to go. Keep being a witness. Keep handing out Bible tracts. Keep testifying. Keep giving a good example to everybody all the time. Let them see Jesus Christ in you, regardless of the consequences from this world. Because we have to, as we always say and always continue to say, look at what we got for eternity to look forward to. Those that are against us don't have that. They've got no hope. They've got an eternity in the lake of fire, which is terrible. And we need to encourage them to give that up and to turn to the Lord. It's as simple as that. If they receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, then they're not going to spend eternity in hell forever. 2 Thessalonians, Paul writes this again where he puts it in this way, "But ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing." This is going to the Christians. This entire message here is going out to the Christians. We that are brethren. That's such an important thing. I'm not talking about the denomination of brethren. I'm talking about that we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are the joint heirs of Jesus Christ. We are His family. We need to always act like His family, regardless of the way we get treated by others. We should always take the right pathway and give the right example. Return that evil talking with kindness. Return that evil action against you with kindness. Give them love. Give them guidance. Help them. Because you can win over someone by that, and that you might wind up with the best friend you ever had as a result. Because they realize that you've helped them get on the right pathway. That you've helped them see Jesus Christ for who He truly is. That you helped them have a life eternal to look forward to. So don't hold a grudge when somebody does something against you in an offensive way, because you have to be forgiving, as it tells us in the Scriptures. If you want forgiveness, you need to be forgiving. So forgive them and move on from that and help them by giving them the right example, by showing them love, the love of Jesus Christ that comes through us. Granted, there's many times that we can't ourselves forgive or forget transgressions that come upon us. We do not have the ability to be able to forget them of our own power. We need to be forgiving, though. We have that within us. And Jesus Christ can give you the strength to do that as well. And He can even give you the ability to put such an event away from your mind and not think about it anymore. To just make it so insignificant that it is no longer an issue with you. So when you have these conflicts coming at you, think about the words of Jesus Christ in the Beatitudes over in Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 10, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Notice He puts the qualifier, you might say, here. For righteousness' sake. It's for well-doing, as Paul wrote in Galatians and in Thessalonians. Don't be weary in well-doing. So if you're living a righteous life, if you're living the kind of life you need to as a Christian, and you get persecutions for that, He's letting them know that you're going to have a relationship with God as a result of being righteous, of being a Christian, of being the example you're supposed to be. Because we are supposed to display the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Not our own, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ. In verse 11, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for My sake." A lot of times the stuff that they bring up against you is just a flat-out lie. They'll tell lies on you to try to discredit your testimony as a Christian, to discourage you. The devil comes at you in all kinds of ways. He's going to find the way that's going to aggravate you the most, or tempt you, or pull you aside the most, and he's going to use that over and over. Let's not give him the satisfaction of knowing the things that irritate us, or tempt us, or cause a problem for us. Let's turn it over to the Lord. Give it to Him. He can deal with it. Because we know in all areas they're going to come at us. If they can't find something truthful to criticize you about, they'll make up something. And they'll lie about it. Just to cause you harm. But be not weary in well-doing. In verse 12, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad. For great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." So when those conflicts come, those persecutions come, it should actually encourage you and let you know The devil wouldn't bother coming at you if you weren't being a good example of a Christian. If he didn't have to aggravate you, then you would have to wonder, you know, am I even a positive influence on anybody? Am I displaying Christianity to those around me? If I'm not even getting persecuted, you got to wonder. Over in Acts chapter 5 now, if you will turn over there, we see what Peter had to go through here. In Acts chapter 5, let's pick it up right here in verse 17. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which were in the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. This is because Peter's been out, and he's been preaching, and he's been teaching, he's been proclaiming Jesus Christ as the Savior, risen from the dead and ascended to the Father. And now he's getting criticism, he's getting persecuted by those who did not believe in the resurrection, the Sadducees. In verse 18, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison's doors and brought them forth and said, go, stand and speak in the temple of the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came and they that were with him and called the council together and all the senate of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut up with safety and the keeper standing without before the door. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto they would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Even though they've been locked up, they got out and they went right back to doing what they're supposed to do, and that is teaching the gospel. When we have a conflict, does that keep us down? When we get an obstacle in front of us, does that stop us from ever going in that pathway again? When we're testifying and somebody criticizes them, when we're out here living a Christian life and somebody ridicules us, makes fun of us, says lies against us, does that stop us and make us quit totally? No, it shouldn't. We ought to get right back up and go right back at it. Then went the captain with the elders and brought them without violence, for they feared the people lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intended to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. They might pass some laws saying, you can't do this, you can't do that as a Christian. They're trying and trying to shut us pastors up, trying to restrict what we can say from the pulpit, trying to restrict what we can say on the radio, what we can have printed, what we can hand out. More and more laws are getting tighter and tighter, threatening different things against the church, locking some of the preachers up for simple little violations, and swooping in on Christianity. But should we obey all of those laws that are contrary to God? It says here, no. We ought to obey God rather than man. Always. God has the priority, obeying Him. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. So is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. The Holy Ghost in you. If we always listen to Him, if we always stand on the might of God, He will help us through all those persecutions, through all those obstacles, through all that bullying, through all that hard times that you're going to have because you're a Christian. It is that you become a Christian, all of a sudden the entire world just loves you and just pours their blessings upon you, gives you all the best opportunities. No, it ain't going to happen. You're going to get persecuted. You're going to be looked down upon by some of the people who used to be your friends when they find out you're a Christian now. When they offer you some marijuana or some alcohol or some other kind of drug, what are you going to do? You're going to say, no, this is not my body. I'm bought with a price. I cannot abuse it. Which is what you should do. We've got to realize that. And give them the example. That even though they are not a child of God, they have not received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ has already bought that body. He paid the price for all mankind on the cross. So even they're abusing something that doesn't belong to them. Verse 33. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, and in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. And said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves that ye intend to do as touching these men. For before this day rose up Thaddeus, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves who was slain. And all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone, for if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. This man gave these contrary ones excellent advice. Don't go up against these fellows, because if what they are doing is truly of God, it will prosper and there's nothing you can do to stop it. But if it is not of God, if it is of their own vanity, or if it is of Antichrist, then it's not going to make it anyway. It would be nice if society would take this attitude and leave the Christians alone. But they haven't. They want to persecute us. They have not realized what this man here was given advice to, that the reason it has survived so long is because it is of God. We need to keep at it. In verse 40, and to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. Contrary to what they just said here, just look at this verse. And to him they agreed. They said, okay, we agree what you're talking about. And then they just did just the opposite when he told them not to be speaking of Jesus Christ anymore. If they truly agreed with that guy and his advice to leave him alone, they wouldn't have even beaten them. They wouldn't have told them to quit speaking in the name of Jesus Christ. They would have said, okay, go on your way. So many times we can give advice. So many times we can hear advice. So many times, and yet not even take it and ignore it. This country is established originally by Christians, by people seeking religious freedom. Have they ignored that today? Definitely. Now it seems to be anti-Christ. Anything else but Christian is accepted. They will promote the false religion. They'll promote the pagan gods. They'll promote Mother Earth and Islam and Hinduism and yoga in the schools and sports. You know, they have special events. The schools will put them on specifically on Wednesday nights. Why? I think it's because they want to keep the kids out of church. They have ball practice on Sunday evenings. Why? Keep the kids out of church. They have out-of-town events, the special ball games, the the homecomings and things like that. When? Many times on Sundays. The big ball games that they play on TV. When? On Sundays. Why? Because Satan has influenced people to do something else other than listen to the Word of God, other than to go to church. If enough Christians that were sports fans was to stand up and say, we're not going to go to your game anymore until you start having them on days that aren't contrary to me being able to worship my Lord. If they would stand up, all, then it may be changed. But they don't. They make a decision to, well, okay, I'd rather go play ball than go listen to some preaching. So let's go play ball. Or I'd rather go see a race. Or I'd rather go to the lake and go fishing. Or I'd rather go skiing. Or I'd rather go whatever it is. I mean, I pick on sports all the time, but it's because I hear so much of it back from the kids. But we got to realize that we've been given an awesome task, an awesome job as Christians to live the kind of life that we should in front of everybody all the time. And we have an awesome responsibility and we have an awesome power that is within us as Christians if we would just stand up and use that. We still outnumber everybody else in this country. There are still more Christians than there are any other religion that is out there. More Christians than there are non-Christians in this country still. But yet we still see an increase in persecution. We see an increase in activities that are anti-God. We see more of that going on. Why? Because the Christians are not speaking out. They are not being heard. They are just sitting back and waiting for the rapture. Thinking, okay, I've got mine. I'm going to sit down. I'm comfortable. I'm ready to go, Lord. Why don't you come ahead and come back? This world's getting evil and evil. Well, we still got work to do. Let's be busily doing the work that we need to be doing. Improve this country and the entire world through our influence that we can have by the power of God. These guys were taking advantage of that. They affected the entire area of Jerusalem. They were given credit here when they were talking about. It says, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, over in verse 28. Have we filled our circle of influence with the example of Jesus Christ? Have we filled our circle of influence with Bible tracts and testimony and witnessing? Does everybody that we encounter in our daily walk know that we are Christian because we're standing out different because they see within us Jesus Christ? Or have we muffled that? Have we silenced that? Have we just gone along with the crowd? See what these guys said here in verse 40. And departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. They rejoiced in the persecution that came to them because they knew they were effective. If you're not effective, you're not going to get any persecution, because why bother? Not going to achieve anything, not going to keep you from being an example of a Christian. If you're not living an example of a Christian, so the devil's going to leave you alone. These guys rejoiced, and we've got to be doing something good because we're getting resistance. Did they keep going? Yeah, they kept going. In verse 42, chapter 5, verse 42. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. They didn't give up. Even though they wound up beaten and thrown in prison, they didn't give up. They kept going. Did not stop. Which is what we're supposed to do as Christians. Not give up. In Romans chapter 8, let's look at another example we have here in verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but to have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We are His children. He's going to bless us. He's going to protect us. We don't need to be afraid of this world anymore. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. When you receive Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost comes into you. And then you have that relationship. You have that connection. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. We're going to get glorified because of our suffering. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. It don't matter how much suffering you're going through. They're not worthy to be compared to the blessings that you're going to receive for eternity because of your suffering as a Christian. Like, okay, why are you preaching these about suffering, about persecution, about hard times? I want some of these feel-good sermons. Pep talks. Boot you up. Everything's going to be great. Donate to the church and it'll come back to you 100-fold. Prosperity and happiness and good times. You'll be blessed now and for eternity for your service. But don't think that you're going to have peaceful times and happiness as a Christian throughout your entire walk. Because if you have no obstacles in your pathway, that's the wrong path. You need to be on the path that's the straight and narrow. You need to be on the path that takes you to God. And in that pathway, the devil's going to throw all kinds of obstacles your way. He's going to put stumbling blocks in front of you. He's going to put challenges in front of you. He's going to put distractions in front of you. He's going to put all kinds of things in your way to try to get you off of that. Onto the easier pathway. Continuing here in Romans chapter 8 and verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity. Let's talk about our physical body, our flesh. Not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. When we receive Jesus Christ, we are made a new creature in Christ. Which gives us an opportunity to look forward to eternity, to look forward to a body that is no longer corruptible, to look forward to that glorified body, to look forward to rewards for eternity, to look forward to, as he said up here, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. When's that going to happen? When we receive our glorified bodies and stand before the judgment seat of Christ and receive our rewards for what was done in our body while we were Christian. Then we will be glorified by God, which is far better than being glorified by man now in this day and time. So always think about that. Always walk toward that, knowing that the persecutions that we're going to receive here are nothing compared to the glory that we will receive for eternity as a result of serving the Lord. And that's what we need to stay focused on. The rewards that He's going to bless us with for eternity. Let's pray. And be not weary in well-doing. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. Thank You so much for the encouragement. Thank You so much for the knowledge that when we come into persecution, that it's because that we have a positive influence on someone somewhere and the devil wants to stop us. Please give us the boldness to step on up and keep on the pathway You want us to be on and not to be weary in well-doing. We thank You so much as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.